Welcome to opening day, which is our closing day. And I've been sort of out of the country for a few years, so I was wondering, is opening day a little early? It is. But I just want to say, this is our last day of our conference, and I think we've got a great session to start off that last day. But before we get further, I just want to say thank you to the conference organizers. I think this has been a great conference. We do have a great session on current issues in influenza vaccine coverage estimation. I'm not going to spend a lot of time introducing our speakers. We have some great speakers who have been working on our enhanced influenza vaccination coverage estimation. I'm first going to introduce Dr. Rosanna Setze, who will be talking about our assessing influenza vaccination coverage during the 2010-2011 season.
Thank you. Can I have the first slide, please? Well, hello and good morning. This morning, my presentation is going to be on assessing influenza vaccination coverage in the current season, 2010-11 influenza season. So each year in the United States, epidemics of influenza occur, which result in serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths. Influenza creates a huge public health burden. During 1979 to 2001, according to CDC data, approximately over 200,000 influenza-related hospitalizations occurred. And during 1976 to 2007, deaths from influenza ranged from over 3,000 to about 49,000. Deaths from influenza generally vary each year depending on the length of the season as well as the severity of the influenza season. Annual influenza vaccination is the single most effective strategy for preventing influenza-related morbidity and mortality. And the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices now recommends annual vaccination for all persons over 6 months in the U.S. who don't have any contraindications to vaccination. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention routinely monitors influenza vaccination coverage in all populations, also in the civilian non-institutionalized population. The assessment branch of ISD, of the NCIRD, provides a scientific leadership on measurement of vaccination coverage, collects, analyzes, and disseminates accurate vaccination coverage data, and promotes the use of these data at the national, state, and local levels. At the state level, influenza vaccination coverage estimates are used to promote vaccination during the National Influenza Vaccination Week, which occurs each year. It's also used for local briefings for of state government officials for evaluating progress of vaccination campaign and to issue briefs on coverage in specialized populations such as pregnant women. At a national level, coverage estimates are used to identify states doing very well or those lagging behind. They're used to estimate denominator, which is very important for vaccine safety studies. They are used in models to estimate the burden of influenza averted by vaccination. And they are also used to provide information to improve vaccination policies and programs. In the 2009-10 season, vaccination coverage estimates were used to brief CDC leadership and ACIP on coverage estimates, coverage progress during the pandemic. The 2009-10 influenza season was unique in many ways. It was characterized by the emergence of the novel influenza A, H1N1 pandemic, and the subsequent H1N1 pandemic. In response, CDC established a comprehensive influenza vaccination coverage monitoring system, and there was a need to provide in-season coverage estimates to monitor progress with vaccination. Prior to this time, influenza vaccination coverage estimates were only produced post-season at the end of the season. So in response to this, the assessment branch estimated coverage of influenza vaccine from multiple sources. I'll be describing all of these sources in detail later. And in addition, we use new analytic methods to make maximum use of the available data and provide timely coverage estimates. Several lessons were learned during this season and have been applied to the current influenza season. So now to the 2010-11 season. This season is the first post-pandemic season. It's also the first year for implementation of the ACIP's universal recommendations. As a result of these factors, there's been a renewed interest in influenza vaccination coverage estimates, and there is the continuing need to provide in-season and post-season coverage estimates. Coverage estimates from this season are being derived from multiple sources, both traditional and some non-traditional sources. And coverage estimates, national and state level influenza coverage estimates are being it's now available online on an interactive website, which is the CDC website, which we call the FluVax View website. So this slide shows a screenshot of the new influenza vaccination coverage page that I just mentioned. We are very excited about this page we have online. People can go there and download coverage estimates and also, you know, play around with interactive maps and do whatever type of analysis you want to do. Here is another shot from the landing page, which shows the kinds of interactive maps and diagram figures that you can derive from this website. As I mentioned earlier, several data sources are used for estimation of coverage estimates this season. Monthly state-level influenza coverage estimates are derived from the BRFSS survey for adults and from the NIS sampling frame for children. I'll describe these in detail in a couple of slides. CDC also conducted a national rapid influenza survey, which was conducted in 20 local areas and national sample. And this survey will be described in detail by my colleague, Dr. Kennedy, right after my presentation. We also conducted internet panel surveys of pregnant women and healthcare personnel in November 2010 to give us an estimate of influenza vaccination coverage in these important groups. This survey would also be repeated in April 2011. Weekly in-season influenza claims, influenza vaccination claims data are also being monitored from third-party vaccination claims data. And also, we are using data from the CMS, Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, to monitor trends in coverage estimates among nursing home residents. And finally, we have some data sources which would be available post-season. These are the NHIS and also the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System for pregnant women. I'll now go through each of these data sources or systems. The BRFSS survey is state-based, random digit-dialed household telephone survey. We have a sample size of about 400,000 randomly selected adults from all 50 states, D.C., and some U.S.-affiliated jurisdictions. Influenza vaccination-related data is collected, and these include receipt of the vaccine, the month of vaccination, the type of vaccine received, as in the shot or the spray. The BRFSS is now a primary source of monthly state-level and aggregate national influenza vaccination coverage estimates for adults over 18 years of age. However, BRFSS data is available about 2 to 3 months after vaccination, so there's really a lag period within which we can't access coverage from this source. In addition, there is a child influenza module which estimates coverage among children. However, this module is only being conducted now among approximately 20 states, and we're trying to encourage other states to get involved in this module. Next is the National Immunization Survey. This is a random digit dial telephone survey of households with children 19 to 35 months of age in all 50 states and the U.S. Virgin Islands. For the influenza module, parents of children between the ages of 6 months and 19 years are identified during screening for the NIS child and the NIS teen, and these parents are asked about influenza vaccination in their children. Questions asked include receipt of the influenza vaccine, the number of doses, the type of vaccine received, the month of vaccination, the place of vaccination, and if they haven't been vaccinated yet, their intent to get vaccinated in this season. The NIS child module provides weekly national and state level coverage estimates for children and adolescents. And this is really timely data with just a 2-week lag. So this slide shows the monthly cumulative influenza vaccination coverage by selected age groups from both the BRFSS and the NIS from August through November 2010. As we can see, for all persons 6 months and over, coverage estimates as of the end of November was almost 40%. And we see that there were substantial increases in coverage over the four-month period. And adults over 65 years had the greatest coverage estimate in this period. Dr. Kennedy will be supplying coverage estimates from the rapid survey and comparing them to this survey here. We also looked at reported influenza vaccination intent among children 6 months and older, 6 months to 17 years from the NIS child module. And we saw that across all age groups, there was a substantial increase in coverage over time from August through March 5th, 2011. So this is pretty current through the 5th of March in this year. We also see that as time went on, the proportion of children who indicated that they definitely intended to get vaccinated was decreasing over time. Presumably, these persons were converting to get vaccinated. And the proportion of children who also indicated they will probably get vaccinated also decreased slightly over time, but not as sharply as among those who indicated they definitely will get vaccinated. We compared influenza coverage estimates among children 6 months to 17 years for the 2010, for the current season versus the last season, that is 2009-10 season. We see that coverage estimates for children in this season are higher than coverage estimates for seasonal influenza vaccination alone in last season, but slightly lower than seasonal plus H1N1 influenza coverage estimates as of November this year. Among adults, we see that coverage estimates for this season are higher than coverage estimates for both the combined H1N1 and seasonal vaccinations, as well as the seasonal-only influenza vaccinations. This data is derived from BRFSS, so we only have coverage estimates through the end of November, and this will be updated very soon. As I mentioned earlier, we also conducted internet panel surveys of healthcare personnel for this season, and this provided mid-season influenza vaccination coverage estimates and information on knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors related to influenza vaccination among healthcare personnel. Respondents were recruited from self-identified healthcare personnel who were participating in a nationally representative online research panel, and also the Physician Consultant Network. A web-based questionnaire was administered between November 4th and 16th in 2010, and it measured self-reported influenza vaccination from August 2010 through to the time of interview. This really is a primary source of coverage estimates for healthcare personnel for this season as of now, and a follow-up survey will be administered in April 2011. Estimates from this survey shows that by the end of November, influenza vaccination coverage among healthcare personnel was about 55%. And generally, the older healthcare personnel, and this includes both clinical and non-clinical healthcare personnel, the older persons had generally higher coverage estimates than younger healthcare personnel. We looked at the influenza vaccination coverage among the healthcare personnel by occupation, and we saw some differences, with the highest coverage estimates occurring, as shown in the lower bar, among physicians, dentists, nurse practitioners, and physician assistants. The other internal panel survey conducted was among pregnant women, and this also provided mid-season influenza coverage estimates for this population and information, as well as information on knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors related to influenza vaccination. The target population was all women who were pregnant at any time between August through mid-November 2010. The sample was selected by screening households in a general population panel of about 1 million households to identify those with eligible pregnant women. The survey completion rate was very high, 92, more like 93%, and a follow-up survey will be administered in April 2011 to determine almost post-season coverage estimates among pregnant women. Results from the Internet Panel survey among pregnant women shows that by mid-November, really, coverage estimates among pregnant women was about 45%. And we generally saw that pregnant women below the ages of 25 were less likely to receive vaccine, or their coverage estimates in this group was generally lower than among the higher-aged pregnant women. Looking at the place of vaccination for the pregnant women, we see that majority of vaccinations among pregnant women are given in clinical settings, primarily in the OBGYN's office and also in the doctor's office. A few pregnant women receive vaccinations in other non-clinical settings, such as the grocery stores and in workplaces as well as in schools. The other source of vaccination coverage estimates for pregnant women is the PRAMS, which is Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System. This is a population-based surveillance system which collects information on maternal attitudes and experiences before, during, and after pregnancy. It's conducted by 37 states and New York City. A monthly stratified random sample of about 100 to 300 pregnant women who've had recent live births are identified from the state birth certificate registries. And these mothers are sent a questionnaire about 2 to 6 months after delivery. Persons who don't respond are contacted by telephone to follow up. This PRAMS provides state-level influenza vaccination coverage estimates for pregnant women. However, the data is generally available many months post-season, so we can't really use it for in-season assessment of coverage estimates. And finally, the other source of coverage data is the NHIS, the National Health Interview Survey. This is a nationally representative annual cross-sectional household survey which collects information on health indicators, healthcare utilization and access, and health-related behaviors among the civilian population. It's regarded as the gold standard for estimation of vaccination coverage estimates, primarily because most of the interviews are in person, and also it uses an address-based sampling frame. Information on influenza vaccination is, however, self-reported. Information on child vaccinations from this source is provided by a knowledgeable person, a knowledgeable adult household member. The NHIS provides national influenza coverage estimates for both children and adults. However, again, we only get this data approximately 16 months post-season. So in summary, I've talked about a number of systems for assessing coverage estimates this season, and I'll just go over in brief about the strengths and limitations of each of these systems. So for the BRFSS, we get monthly state-level estimates for adults over 18 years. However, it's self-reported, there is about a 2 to 3 month lag, and the child influenza module is not conducted by all states. The NIS child module provides in-season state-level child estimates, and vaccination records for the NIS are generally provider verified. However, for the influenza module, it's only based on self-reports by the parents. Then there's a rapid flu service, which Dr. Kennedy will talk about, which is providing in-season estimates of adults and children. However, there's no state-level estimates from this source. Then we have the Internet Panel surveys, which provide in-season coverage estimates for pregnant women and healthcare personnel. However, we don't have state-level estimates from here. From this source, excludes pregnant women without internet access, and there's no national sampling frame. Then also, I mentioned briefly the third-party claims data, which we are using, which provides weekly national, state, and local-level estimates of vaccinations provided in administered in provider offices. However, this is expensive and generally underestimates vaccination coverage. The CMS claims data is used to monitor trends in coverage among nursing homes, but generally underestimates coverage. The PRAMS is a good source of state-level influenza coverage estimates for pregnant women, but the data is not available in season and not all states participate. And finally, the NHIS is our gold standard. However, data not available in season, and it's only available about 16 months post-season. So for the future, which is the 2011-12 season, we'll continue this comprehensive assessment systems used for the current season, that is the BRFSS, the NIS, the NHIS, perhaps the Internet Panel Surveys. In addition, we will continue to publish in-season estimates on the interactive CDC website. The link to this website is indicated on my slide. And for the long term, we think that perhaps the increased use of immunization information systems or registries for state and local monitoring of coverage estimates, as well as the use and integration of electronic medical records with registries, may perhaps be the ideal way to go to estimate vaccination coverage. Thank you.